The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast. This is a media post-match reaction pod to Crystal Palace's 1-0 victory away at Anfield against Liverpool this afternoon. Not sure who else is going to play that against Anfield, but there you go.
Just to clarify that point.
Tram reserves, maybe?
Could be. But look, we won away. We held on to a relatively early goal. And yeah, loving it. How you feeling, bruv?
Buzzing, mate. Look, I mean, Palace were fantastic, let's be honest. Like, in terms of the play, the first half, we were the much better team. Second half, you know, we expected the barrage, which I think we weathered very well.
Yeah.
And look, yeah, absolutely buzzing. Get a result. First Palace result. 3 points we've had since Burnley at home, which would have been 2 months ago.
Second win under Glasner, yeah.
Yeah, so look, great result. Great performance, I thought, as well. Very resolute. Dug in well. Nathaniel Klein was fantastic. Joachim Anderson, Jefferson Lerma, Eze, when he was on the pitch, I thought did really well. Obviously got his goal. JP was a threat. Was really probably should have scored when Robertson cleared up the line. Look, a fantastic result for Palace. You know, 3 points, which pretty much puts us safe, I'd say, without trying to jinx things too much. I thought it was a very complete performance from Crystal Palace, and well worth our 3 points,
mate. The goal, ridiculously well worked as well, wasn't it? I think on we watched it on Sky and they reported 21 passes before the goal.
What did I say to you? I said to you, Robin, the build up to that, look, it's total football, because it was
viable.
It was, you know, we were passing it about, we were breaking lines, there was neat little triangles, and then the finish was fantastic. Credit to Eze as well for moving away from his man, and I think he was involved in the early part of the move as well, and then found some space. A fantastic finish, and I don't think Liverpool created, anything as clear cut as that. Obviously, they had their chance to hit the bar. Henderson was drawn to create a couple of really good saves as well throughout the game. But I must admit, bruv, I felt quite comfortable in that game. I mean, I felt that, you know, even though Palace have got this history of conceding late goals, I never felt too worried that we were going to concede.
Well, I guess what there was the barrage in the second half that you kind of expected. The first half, I thought, well, you noted we could have had two, we could have had a third in the second half. Obviously, JP, one cleared off the line in the first half. Second half, he should have finished, I think, low and hard, but, you know, he's got split second to react and he's kind of just thinking he's going to smash it, I think. It's going to go in, but kind of Becker puts his hand and it's saved. But, yeah, I don't know. Second half, I thought we were hanging on there, I must admit. I did think it was a bit short and curlies at the end. Not the end. I think most of the second half, really. But, you know, we could have scored a couple. They could have scored a couple. You know, there's a Mitchell made a sort of a good intervention. Henderson, like, another very impressive game. And the narrative around him, I mean, even Sky tried to get on the game with him flapping. He was trying to punch the ball with about three blokes in front of him, you know. He's not flapping, he's making a concerted effort to get to the ball. So, yeah, all round strong performance, one to be proud of.
And as you say, bruv, this whole sort of narrative around Henderson flapping as well, like, if that was the way around, is that Alisson making that, it would be saying he disrupted the defence, made a good contribution. Look, I think we were good value for our goal today, good value for our 3 points, a very resolute performance, which very much we deserved. You know, Sky were very keen to sort of push the whole sort of Palace, who conceded the most goals in the last 10 minutes of games. Liverpool conceded have scored the most and been behind at half time. They'd never lost a game. It was just written, wasn't it, for Palace to come and upset the apple cart today, and we did so very well. And I'd like to think, but we're on 33 points now, 32 points, and we've got some grub now. But that pretty much sees us safe, realistically. I know we're 8 points clear, or whatever, 7 or 8 points clear now. I think that pretty much sees us safe, doesn't it?
Well, it's one of the games you didn't expect to get a result out of, wasn't it? And it's the second win under Glasner, so there's something about that. I think there's something to build on upon as well, right? Because, you know, today we've got the result away from home. Not forgetting that West Ham lost 2-0 at home, so there's a game next week at home, fortunately for us, to look forward to and hopefully something to build on. And, you know, it's not an easy run of fixtures to come. So, you know, today was one, like I say, we didn't expect to get. We sort of go onwards and upwards from here and hope that, you know, it gives us something strong to go into next week. And then, you know, there's the Newcastle-Fulham games to come. But I think, like you say, it gives us, hopefully, something to build on, but also something to hold, hopefully also put in the bank and say, that's 3 points. Yeah. Look forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, time for some food, yeah? We may or may not be back for a part two with a special guest.
Let's see what
TBC
happens.
On that one, right?
Might have cut this out of way, so it's irrelevant.
Depends on what you have to drink this afternoon. Thanks for listening. If we're not back, if we are back, see you in a minute.
Hello and welcome back to the Six Pointer Podcast, part two, 24 hours after what was a momentous victory away at Anfield. I think I promised in part one also that we'd have a special guest, and I'm pleased to say we've delivered on that promise. Special guest, please reveal yourself.
Hello, Matt. It's Kev Smith here, friend of the pod, and obviously been desperate to get back on for a while. So thank you, gentlemen, for fitting me on a Monday night at 25-9. Really appreciated. So absolute pleasure to be speaking to you about yesterday's game, I think.
I think we will talk about that. I think you're more than a friend of the pod, maybe a lover. I think we're a lover.
Love of the pod,
absolutely.
Yeah.
In the most erotic sense.
You've got to remember, my mum might listen to this at some point, so be careful what you say.
I could edit a kid, but I don't think there's anyone else that Matthew would stay up for on a Monday night for. So you're very privileged.
Yeah, and look, I'm keen to talk about yesterday's game with you, Kev, because you didn't watch it with as much Guinness as Luke and I did in our bellies. But what a result, eh?
Matt, I must admit, I mean, I watched it. My mind was a bit strange. I was out for the first half, so I knew we were 1-0 up. So I watched the second half live. And then as soon as the game finished, I watched the first half. And it's a lot easier to watch a first half when you know you've already won the game. But I was so, so impressed with just the way we played in that first half. I think, you know, I know we'll come on to it, but if you talk about the goal, I think when I saw a match of the day two last night, and by the way, never seen them so wax lyrical, and fair play to Shearer and the guys. They were really complimentary about Palace last night. 21 touches for that goal, which was an outstanding piece of football. And I think, with the greatest respect, if that had been scored by any other side other than Crystal Palace, if that had been a Man City goal, they'd still be talking about it. But because it's Palace, it gets forgotten fairly quickly. But I absolutely felt it was a Crystal Palace masterclass. Yes, we know that Liverpool didn't take their chances, but some of our defending was just heroic. And I think it's very rarely that you get to watch a game, and obviously I watched it back to front yesterday, where you look at every player and think every player has absolutely put in a shift and absolutely delivered for the badge. And I was very, very proud. And I think, bearing in mind today, 35-year anniversary today of Hillsborough, I think Palace were immaculate, as you would expect yesterday, with the respect as well. And I think that says everything about us as a club and the way we went up there. And, you know, we've done Jurgen Klopp's first loss against us last, and most of his last loss at Anfield was also against us. So I think Jurgen will remember us as well, in some ways as well.
Poetic, Kev. And yeah, you're right. I mean, as Matthew said, you know, we've had a chance to calm down now and obviously see the highlights. And like you, I was a bit surprised, pleasantly surprised, that the fact that the match of the day analysis was very heavily focused on Palace and only a short bit on Liverpool, as it should have been, because, as you say, the performance was fantastic. You know, to a man, Dean Henderson was proving his doubters wrong again, with some excellent saves. Nathaniel Clyne and Tyrone Mitchell both with very important blocks. Joachim Andersen, I think, got man of the match. He was brilliant. Lerma kept Salah very quiet all game. Adam Wharton, you know, just continues to play like a player. Seven years his senior, doesn't he? He really looks to be a fantastic find. And JP, had it been, you know, a little extra toenail, would have scored that second goal and made us a bit more comfortable at half-time. But as it were, didn't need it anyway. So,
but this is the thing, though, as you guys have both said, like how good it was yesterday. And the thing you can't forget is the opposition. Like, we weren't playing, like the last victory Obviously, the first under Glasner was Burnley, 10 men Burnley. Yesterday, we beat 11 men Liverpool, who are top three going for the title. And they didn't just beat them. I mean, like you guys have said, I haven't seen the coverage back and I haven't watched Match of the Day and things, but if they're positive about the Palace, it's well deserved. It's no, you know, it, you always worry it's, oh, well, Palace beat Liverpool because Liverpool rubbish. That was not the case. Palace should have scored another two goals yesterday, bar for a JP missing one, and wasn't it an off the line, or I can't remember what the other one was, but there were two chances. So it could have been 4-3. You know, it wasn't a Palace nick a goal and then, you know, save seven or eight. It was they were in the game, weren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was Andy Robertson who cleared it off the line, which was an incredible clearance, really. I mean, I think it was, oh my goodness, Van Dijk slipped. And I think if Mateta had just hit it an inch further, and that's in, believe it or not. So credit where credit's due. Robertson did incredible to get it off. And again, I don't think Mateta did anything wrong for the what could have been the second goal. I mean, Alisson's put his arm up to make an instinctive save, which is just incredible, really. He couldn't really have done a lot more. But, you know, as you said, Matt, absolutely right. Totally well deserved. I mean, it's the first league loss for Liverpool, I think, at Anfield for 18 months. And do you know what? We deserved it. And what was so nice, I think, again, I didn't see the Sky footage so much afterwards, but I did see Match of the Day too last night. And they were, you know, they were incredibly complimentary about what Palace had done. Yes, Liverpool weren't firing on all cylinders, but they didn't try and hide behind that. You know, Shearer and, you know, it was they were just very, very complimentary. And it, do you know what? It was really refreshing to watch that and hear that, and actually, it was good. It was really, really nice.
Luke,
Yeah, okay. Sorry, go on.
what was different about Palace yesterday that meant that we went to Anfield and got 3 points rather than what we've had over the past few games?
Well, I guess the easy answer is that you had Michael Olise and Edward Chiesa starting the game for the first time together for, I don't know, a long time. And it gave us a bit more attacking threat. And what was interesting, I said to you yesterday, bruv, thinking back to the goal and also our performance in the first half, how much space we had in the left-hand side. So whether that was a result of obviously Elise being on the ball and Liverpool perhaps turning their attention more to the other side and putting it that way, I don't know. But I thought that you had Eze and Mitchell linking up really nicely. And that goal was, I think I said yesterday, total football, 21 touches. It was brilliant. And even Jurgen Klopp had to say wow when that went in, because I hope that was in reaction to the quality of the goal and not him thinking that Liverpool could have done better defending it. Because had Liverpool scored that goal, like you say, Kev, I think everyone would have been waxing lyrical about that for the next sort of 2 weeks. It was a real quality finish, built from, you know, real quality passing, nice little triangles, good movement, finding space, linking up, and the finish was looked simple, but I'm sure it was anything but, really.
I think the interesting thing, if I may just add there, Matt, you said what made the difference. I mean, again, I think I heard it correctly yesterday. Eze and Elise starting together has only happened four times this season. And if you think we're 32 games in and they've only played together where they've started four times, that I think goes a long way. You take away that, you take those two players out of any team and you're going to nullify them. And I think everyone, you know, there wasn't one player yesterday, in my honest opinion, who played below an eight. You know, I've been very impressed with the right back since he's come in. I think he's done really well. I love his work rate. I love his aggression. But I think every player to a man yesterday was exceptional. And whether that was, you know, Glasner tactically getting it right, but you know, fair play. And hopefully that will be the springboard which will push us on. And you know, hopefully, with the greatest respect, a few more points would be nice just to keep us safe. But I think if you're, you know, Luton or Forest, possibly even Everton, depending on what happens tonight, you're looking at that thinking, damn, that's another side, a bit like Brentford. Not have got away, but have potentially got away. You know, I think it would take a calamitous mess up now for us to possibly be in that bottom three personally. And that's not me being arrogant. I think there's too many points clear of the others now for them to claw that back personally.
Mathematically, I think
realistic.
it's 40 points, isn't it? I mean, because I think Luton can get another 15, as it were. But yeah, like you're saying, Kev, I mean, that's relying on them winning every game, us losing every game, and then everything else going for the ride. I think realistically, we're safe. I don't think 40 points is going to be the number this year. I think it's going to be
No, I
something
don't
like
think it will be.
35, 33 or something like that. So I think we're pretty much there, if I'm honest. I think that 3 points, that second win on the Glasgow yesterday, pretty much secured Palace's Premier League safety for another season.
What was your take on it, Matt? What did you see
Well,
different? Because obviously you and Luke are there pretty much week in, week out. What did you see different yesterday?
I think it's the solution to the age-old problem that Palace have always had, and it's happened consistently. It happened consistently through Wilf's time with us, in that we normally have a single star attacking man who they just team up on, two, three players on him. And Wilf had that majestic nature about him that you could deal with that, but it's still going to hinder you in some way, shape, or form. When you've got Eze and Elise on the pitch, there's two of them to deal with. So if you're going to double up on them, that's six players. Or triple up on them, six players. And I think it's that difference that we have when they're on the pitch. I'm obviously individually they're great players, and that, but I think they offer us very different things as well. But I think there's a big distraction if there is two of them on there, and just double the fun to deal with as well. Actually, I was going to ask you, so I've got a view on this, but I'll ask you both first. Which of them's the better player? Who are we most worried about losing?
Oh, that's a tough question, Matt. I mean, for me at the moment, I mean, it's tough to call because I think I've not seen enough of Elise this season. I mean, obviously he came back in I think the Brighton game, and rightly or wrongly, wasn't really fully fit. They threw him in, and they didn't gamble work. I think, as you say, they're both such a threat. I think for me, Eze always glides. And he looks great. He took that goal so comfortably yesterday. And I think, as Luke almost alluded to, he made it look quite simple. It mostly wasn't a simple finish, but he opened up his body and just slid it under Alisson, who, let's be honest, is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, and made it look simple. I think Eze mostly has a bit more value on him at the moment because he's played a bit more than Elise. But I think Elise also has that. Whenever he touches the ball, he's a bit like Bolasie, but without the uncertainty for me. You know, you're off your seat because you don't know what he's going to do, but you know you're confident he's going to do something pretty good with it. So I think, you know, you couldn't put a price on losing either of them at the moment. I would hope, I mean, obviously, subject to where they are contract-wise and the fact that they both had injuries, that they'll want to get I'd like to think a pre-season under Glasner and see where we go. Because, you know, let's be honest, if we're fortunate enough to stay up, which I think we should do now. I think this year's been a real false storm that we should have pushed on this year, and we haven't. So it's been a wasted year. But if I'm honest, if we stay up, I will still class it as a successful year in light of where we are and where we've been. So get a pre-season under a new manager with what appears to be front foot football in my mind, as I understand it from the way he plays. And if yesterday is anything to go by, then that's what I'd like to see us playing. So sorry, I haven't really answered the question, Matt. I think it's 50-50 on both of them, but I think next season, under a good pre-season, they could both be worth a lot of money. A lot of money.
So, Luke, Kev's got splinters in his bum from sitting on the fence. What are you saying?
It's a tough one to call, isn't
Sorry,
it?
Matt.
Because Elise is 22, Eze is 25. I understand both of them do have release clauses in their contracts, so you know, if someone wants to, if a big club wants to come in and they're willing to pay the price, then it's kind of out of Palace's hands anyway, isn't it? But if you could put me on, you know, put a gun to my head, I'd probably say Michael Elise's probably got the highest ceiling, possibly, maybe because he's got a bit more pace about him and he's a winger, and maybe that's potentially a bit more attractive. But look, they're both real quality players and ones that we're going to struggle to replace when they do eventually leave. Palace, but that this, as Kev said, you know, they both had injury problems this season. Maybe some of the big clubs might think, well, if you want, you know, 65 million or whatever it is for either of them, if that's what the release clause is, are clubs going to take that gamble? Or might they think, oh, hang on, if we wait another season, wait till they, you know, can prove a season of fitness, then we're going to them perhaps in January or next season. So, I mean, that's what I'd hope would happen. Simply so we can get a few more games with them in a Palace shirt. But A very tough one to call in terms of
Your
who is
thoughts,
the better
Matt?
player.
Your thoughts?
I think we miss for an all-round contribution. I think Ezza is the one we'd miss more. I think he takes a bit longer to get going back to his full capabilities and form after an injury. So what's he played now? Five, six games, is it? And I think now we're starting to see him firing all cylinders again. And I think you said the word glide, and I agree with that. I love watching the way he just carries the ball from the minute we signed him. I remember that COVID, it was the COVID season, wasn't it, with Roy? And I remember
Sheffield
watching
United goal, right?
on the telly, and some of the stuff we were watching doing, the way he carried the ball, and glide's a great word for it. And I love watching him. I think he's strong. He just gets on the pitch. He's a ball carrier that you talk about us often. Well, we don't normally have them. Elise is obviously, as you said, very exciting. You're right, he's the chaos factor, but he actually knows what he's doing, versus a kind of a Bolasie or a Bakary Saka, all those kind of players. You just don't know what the hell they're going to do. So I think he's probably the one to go for more money, though, because of that consistent contribution, but also just because I think he gets in and around more goals, because I think he's crossing ability, and because he's on the wing and those kind of things. But then he has to cut inside and has a go as well. So look, both majestic players, aren't they? And we're really lucky to have both of them in our team. It's a nice problem to have in that sense. Just though, on your point, on the this season, I agree with you. I think, obviously a failure to invest in the squad and a lack of investment in attacking positions, such that when those players were injured, we were hamstrung massively, excuse the pun. And then I think also that the fact that we've had injuries, I think Doucouré is the one for me we missed the most. We obviously Walton coming in has done absolutely brilliantly, and I echo what Luke said. I think he's fantastic. He for me, out of the two signings, I mean, Muniz is great, but I think he is going to be absolutely, he's not going to be at Palace that long, a couple of years, and he should be playing elsewhere, top six team easily. But I think he gives us a bit more solidity in the middle, and I think we've really missed Doucouré from that. And obviously Gay's been in and out as well. So your four best players, but yeah, I think, to answer my own question, I think at least they'd go for more money. Ezra will be the one all round we'd miss more. But yeah,
So
that's such
Matt,
a
can I
difficult
ask
question.
you then, do you think they will go, either one of them will go in the summer?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because like you guys have said about the injury thing does put question marks against it. Like you've said, though, the contract position means Palace will get good money regardless, whether it's top dollar versus what they could get. Who knows? I think it depends what they want to do with investment in the squad. They'll need to make money available, won't they? And the whole financial fair play thing doesn't just mean they can throw more money into it. So they need to, I think, they need to sell someone. I think you might more likely see Gueye go, though, because, the England caps that he's got, okay, until this recent injury, he's been pretty reliable, hasn't he, injury-wise? So I think he's the one that's most likely to go. I'd be gutted, though, because he's a Rolls-Royce and a defender. So difficult summer coming up.
Yeah,
But how good is
absolutely.
it, though, the fact that we've been able to pick these players out of the championship? The Whartons, the Elises, the Eze, Gueye obviously only had a season on loan at Swansea the season before we bought him. So whilst obviously, it is disappointing to, I'm saying that they're gone now, they haven't gone yet, but while, if they do go, it will be disappointing. I think we can have faith or have to take some sort of solace in the fact that, we've got a really strong recruitment team that is excellent at picking the creme de la menthe, as Del would say, from the championship.
So can I throw out then, is our biggest risk losing Dougie Friedman as a sort of technical director, sort of, picker of these players through recruitment? Because I think, again, there was talk, wasn't there, 3 or 4 weeks ago that, and again, I don't know whether it was just paper talk, whether United or someone was sniffing around him as a possible technical director. Because let's be honest, as you say, Walton, I mean, as you say, he's Rolls-Royce, right? He's 20 years old. I'd be amazed if he doesn't play for England in 3 or 4 years max, because he's just, I don't know, I saw him yesterday and I thought the maturity of this young man is just incredible. I thought he was out of his depth when he played that first game. I think it was Brighton. He looked a little bit, but that's understandable. I think he'd been in the door, been in the building about 3 days. But from what I can see of him, he looks an incredible player. And maybe As you say, Luke, some of the recruitment that's been done has been exceptional over the years, and I don't think we give ourselves, not that we would give ourselves credit for that. It's been the best kept secret, some of our recruitment. But if we lose Adugie, does that then, I do wonder about what the infrastructure is behind the scenes. I don't know enough about what's going on with the parish and the Americans and all the stuff. So I don't really know enough, is the stadium ever going to be built? All the stuff. I don't really know enough of what's going on. And I think my fear would be, and if we gone down this season, my fear is obviously there would be an exodus. And if there's an exodus, my fear would then be, would we then possibly drop again? And that's not being negative. I'm just being realistic, having been through what we've been through over the years.
This is so typical Palace. Look at us. Look, we've just beaten Liverpool away at Anfield, and we're talking about losing our best players and
I'm
losing
talking
our
about
diamond
playing
four.
in
You're
Div
relegating us, Kev.
1.
Goodness
Sorry,
me.
sorry.
No, but
I'll call a Samaritan straight after this. Apology.
I think there is a realistic risk there, isn't there? All the time that you have those top performing players and or staff in whatever role they have, there's always a risk that someone wants to come and take them because that's what it's all about. It's the nature of the game. I don't know how much of the scouting network and the like around Dougie is also highly rated in that sense. It's not just him going to watch all these players, is it? And him going to spot these people. There's obviously a team of them doing it, and Palace obviously built that up over the years. You've obviously got the academy as well. Hopefully, in the next few years, started to sort of reap the benefits of some of those lads coming through. They just need to expand in that place as well. Going past that on the train to New Beckenham or Sydenham Station, like that training, that academy ground has grown and grown and grown. They've got about five or six pitches now.
And let's not lose sight that our girls are top of the championship and
Yeah.
coming up to the WSL at the moment. If they
Fingers
win
crossed,
the,
Kev.
if they win their games in hand, they're 2 points clear of the championship. They could be in the WSL next season, which is incredible from
Yeah.
where they've been. Sorry.
No.
But the infrastructure behind the scenes with a lot of stuff is really, really positive.
You mentioned that, Kev. You've got to give a shout out to the last game of the season at Selhurst, which is first versus second Palace Sunderland. So if the Palace ladies get that, they're definitely up, right? Which I mean, like you say, brilliant. I mean, you watch Women's Super League on BBC on Sky Sports. You get
Yeah.
like good crowds for it. You know, the
60,000 for Arsenal at the Emirates every week.
the Women's FA Cup final sells that. So yeah, that'd be absolutely brilliant. And I think just will say on that, I've taken my daughter to that a couple of times, and she loves it. And it's
Yeah.
really accessible for children. So she's had photos of the girls, she's had autographs with them and stuff. So it's brilliant for her and for females to see that sort of stuff. So yeah, well done, Kev, for mentioning that. But look, we've talked about the victory. I think the key thing now is looking forward, right? And you guys have both mentioned about pretty much secure, but it's still possible to go the other way around. When do Palace start to look at next season? Does it take 40 points for us before we look forward, or what's that turning point?
I look
I
at the
think for
figures,
me,
obviously.
it's
West, where
36, 37 points.
you reckon, Kev? I think, look, what is it? Six games left, right? West Ham home, Newcastle home, Fulham away, Man United home, Wolves away, and Villa at home. So I think the last game of the season, Villa needs something to get Champions League. That's going to be a difficult one. But look, as we know, Palace can spoil a party, so there's every chance we can do that. But Fulham are, I think they're doing really well at the moment. You know what? There's something about West Ham at home. I think Palace always turn up for West Ham at home. And maybe it's the sort of the nostalgia in me. I think back to, God, what year would that have been? 2003 or 2004, April 2004. I think it was May Day when we
May
played them. And
2004, Cardiff Millennium Stadium, yeah?
it was earlier that season.
Oh.
It was a bank holiday Monday and Palace. We were May Day, it may have been earlier than Easter Monday, it might have been. That was it. Dougie Freeman scored the only goal of the game, and the place went mental. I just think that sometimes we just sort of do quite well at West against West Ham at home. Look at last season, that mental game we had. It was the last home game of the season, the second last home game of the season, where it was like back and forth, end to end football, goals, goals, goals. It was crazy, wasn't it?
Ruibal.
Well, yeah, complete rival in the first half anyway.
I'm thinking 20 years ago, Luke. So it's 20 years ago in May that we beat West Ham in the playoffs with Pardew, right? Up down at Cardiff. That's where I was going. So apologies. But you've only got to go
Same
back a few
season.
seasons when Super Jordan scored that goal of the season, right, in the last minute to beat West Ham as well. I mean, listen, I'd like to think we could get at least 3 or 4 points from our last six games. So I'm quietly confident after yesterday that we will be okay. So I think Matt's question is, when do you start thinking about next year? I'd like to think that they're not too far off thinking about that now, and what does it need to look like? Because as you say, I think Matt, you make a good point. What happens with Mark Gayey? There are a lot of big questions there to be honest. I don't know where everyone is contractually, as to how long we are. Appreciate you've already covered with Eze and Michael Olise. But I don't know what the situation is with Gayey and a few of those others. So I'm quietly optimistic. I know one game doesn't make a season, but what I saw yesterday and the way that we're putting their bodies on the line and everything, that I hope will be the catalyst for Glasner to push on now. And I think he got a very good reception from the Palace fans. Whenever I've seen him talk, he talks about coming to England and not understanding the concept of playing for a draw. So again, he seems to like to play on the front foot. So I'll take that at the moment because I think it's been pretty dour for a few seasons. So I'll be honest with you, I'll take that. Since our FA Cup run 2 years ago, where I was looking at how quickly I drank that pint only earlier today, thinking it made me chuckle, right? As you boys, some of the things you said, Matt, as you ran up Wembley Way, can't be repeated on this pod, but it was very funny, my friend. And still, the best part for ages. The only a good day out of the football, only ruined by the football, Luke, if I recall.
Yeah, certainly, mate. And yeah, I mean, looking towards Sunday's game, I was just looking back at the fixtures between Palace and West Ham. If you're a betting man, put some money on some goals here, because obviously early in the season 1-1, 4-3, 2-1, 3-2, 2-2, 3-2. So there's going to be some goals on Sunday. So maybe this is why Sky have picked it. Obviously, it's potentially down to West Ham playing on Thursday night against they're playing Leverkusen. Is that right?
Well, I don't know.
Leverkusen, yeah.
It's going to be nil-nil now you've said all this.
Oh, maybe. But yeah, look, it will be Leverkusen, wouldn't it? It
Guarantee.
could be the second leg in the Europa League game. So they're already 2-0 down. So, and Leverkusen are flying, obviously, after winning the league yesterday. So yeah, it will be
Yeah.
interesting because it only took Liverpool losing in Europe for us to beat. And maybe if West Ham lose on Thursday night, we can do the business on Sunday again. Let's
Very
wait and
good.
see. Let's
Very
wait and
good.
see.
Right. Well, I'm going to wrap us up there. But look, it's been a delight having you back with us, Kev.
Oh, it's been
Long,
a
long
pleasure. Thanks,
overdue.
guys. Really appreciate you asking me to do it. Thank you.
We're going to arrange a proper and longer one of these, aren't we, over a few beverages. So,
That'd be
listeners, look
good.
forward to that soon. And I don't know what Kev you're talking about. Me and Wembley Way making noises or whatever you said I was doing. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Well, not that I can remember anyway, but after all the beer we'd had, who could?
Mate, it was incredible. Even the free dough balls in Pizza Express you saw with that app. Incredible day. Incredible day. What can I tell you?
Kev, I love your highlights of the day. I love your highlight, the things you remember.
Oh, I kept boots.
No, I remember
His
that.
boots.
That's the
If you
highlight.
listen, if the fashion police are knocking at the door, I'm sending them around my house. Don't you worry about
Not me, not me with
that.
these glasses on.
Mate, you listen, if Bono wants to know where they are, we'll give him a shout. We'll give him your address.
Brilliant. Right. As always, at 6 Pointer Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the pod. I'm sure you enjoyed the game, but also I hope you enjoyed the pod. And so, yeah, we'll be back soon with you for a bumper edition with the main man, Kev himself. Until then, guys,
Up the
up the
palace. Up the
Palace.
palace.
The 6 Pointer Podcast.